We will see His glory. We will see His beauty. And we will magnify Him. Is there any doubt that we'll do that? When we see the glory and the beauty of our God, that we have been so beneficial and been blessed with in our relationship in Jesus Christ. Part of that blessing is the relationship that we have with one another, isn't it? That we see each other and we are close to each other because our goals are the same, our plans are the same, to be with God in eternity and to help each other along the way. And we need each other's help. And we need the help of Scripture. We need the help of everyone to see in us whenever they see failings in our lives, to have the courage to come to us and say, you need to work on this because I think it endangers your soul. And we need the encouragement of the assembly of whenever we come together to be edified in the singing like we have been this last few days and the good job that Tim has done. God has made every provision for us to go to heaven. He's made every blessing provided that we need to go to heaven would be with Him eternally. The only thing that He's not going to do is He's not going to force us to do that. He's going to leave those things and those choices up to us of whether or not we will return the great love by which He's loved us. And He invites us multiple times in the Scriptures to see the purpose of life and to see the blessing that He offers to us to come to Him, to live for Him, because He wants us to go home with Him and be with Him in eternity. And that's what I want to do, and that's what I know you want to do, and I appreciate the invitation to be with you the last few days and to be able to study with you and learn with you and be encouraged by you. And I'm always encouraged when I'm reacquainted with those who I've known in the past who are still serving the Lord, still faithful, still walking the walk and being what they need to be and trying to be what God would have us to be, and to know that we're all in the family with God, and one day we can have a great reunion. You remember those days back in Bossier City? Remember those days back in wherever else it was, in Pampa or whatever, and how good the Lord was to us, to have patience with us and to help us keep going. Every sacrifice and every struggle will be worth it in 5 seconds of 1 second of heaven. And so we tried to, and I appreciate the invitation again of the elders here and the good people here, and it's been great to be with Tim. It's been really good to be again with whatever the preacher's name is here that I can't remember. Frank. Old age, or whatever this is. I've been studying with you about the dangers. It's not coming on. Turn it on. Now let's start again. We've been studying from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 about the warnings that God in the Holy Spirit has delivered unto us that we can see beforehand. Red flags. Beware. These things can lead you away, lead you astray, that you can fall from your own steadfastness. And therefore, when you see the red flags in your life and your heart, don't ignore them and don't say, well, that's not a good thing, but I'm not going to do anything about it. Pay attention to them. And I've tried to point out some of those red flags that the Scriptures teach us. Do not let your heart envy sinners. If you sin without godly sorrow, it's a red flag that you don't realize who you've sinned against. If you found something new, but it's not in the Word of God, is not anything that will help you go to heaven. If you're changing your view and changing your commitment because of now the situation that you're in, while you're involved in that, it's a red flag. It's an orange cone we talked about that you need to be careful about. And if sound, healthy, preventative doctrine is something you have to endure rather than benefit from, it's a red flag in your faith and in your life. And then let's look at just a few more in our time that we have. If you stop seeking to learn, if God's Word is dull to you, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, the Hebrew writer says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." That's the very opposite of what Jesus declared in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. "He blessed is he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he will be filled." Whenever we in our physical body lose our appetite, what does that tell us? That tells us something is probably amiss in our physical body. Well, the same thing is true spiritually. When we lose our appetite to hear the gospel, when we lose our appetite to study, when we lose when we lessen in our appetite to come to the Scriptures, it's a red flag of danger. Something is amiss in our spiritual life. The Greek word means for dull means slow moving in mind, sluggish in understanding, and senselessly forgetful. We all know that feeling whenever we sat in a class, maybe in high school, and it wasn't a class that we wanted to be in. It was a class that we had to be in, and the teacher was so boring, and the message was so boring, and everything was so boring. But then the next hour, we went in, and it was more enlightening, and it was like, wow, I'm learning so much, and everything is going so good. And we know from our own experience, the difference wasn't in the teachers, the difference wasn't in the subject, the difference was in us. What we were truly interested and valued in our circumstance in high school years or junior high. Well, and the most important thing in our life, the same thing is true. And the Scriptures, Jesus warns us about that in many, many ways. Of be concerned about your appetite. Be concerned when you've lost your appetite to learn more and to grow more and to know more about what God says. He said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull." What was the result of that? "Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." The need was to be healed. But their eyes they had closed, and their ears, their eyes could not see, and their ears they had closed, and they weren't seeking to understand anymore, and it was the problem of their heart. It was a problem of their heart. It was hard to stay with it. It was hard even to listen to the perfect Savior of the world, to hear His message. To hear the message of the perfect teacher, they refused to respond to. And therefore, the encouraging words that He says to His disciples in verse 16, "But blessed are your ears and your eyes, and for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And it isn't a matter of intellect. It was a matter of attitude. It wasn't a matter of what the Hebrew writer was saying, to saying, "I have some things that I need to explain to you, but you are dull of hearing." He was talking about the necessity of explaining the nature of Jesus' high priesthood. That Jesus was not a high priest after the order of Levi, after the old of the Old Testament, but after the order of Melchizedek. And He sought to explain that to them so that they would know that that was a better high priesthood.
and they needed to understand that, but they made it difficult because they had become dull of hearing. The trouble was not intellect. The problem was attitude. He could explain, and he went on to explain to them those things, and they could understand if they were interested. If they wanted to hear. If they wanted to listen and learn. And therefore, whenever we don't want to hear anymore, when we don't want to listen anymore, whenever it is such a pain and difficult, it's a red flag in our hearts and our spiritual growth. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. As again, that which motivates, that which causes us the need to be built up, is our interest in listening to the message of God. That it is not a matter of chore, it's a matter of what am I going to learn? How am I going to develop more in my relationship unto God? Getting bored with the Bible is a red flag in our service unto Him. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul said, Now, brethren, I commend to you to God the word of His grace. There's no greater word than that. The undeserved blessing of God. I'm going, the word of His grace. We all need the grace of God. We need the mercy of God. Where are we going to find that? We find that in what Jesus is and what He did for us. But the only way we know and can appreciate that is through the Word. It's the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Listen to the promises. The promises, He said, like a newborn babe desires that pure milk that you may grow. What do we grow in? Peter closes in verse 18 of chapter 3. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it will build you up and it will give you the abundant hope of an inheritance of heaven. Who doesn't want that? I want. I want to be able to walk through life with the hope of heaven. I want to be able to walk through life with strength to be able to meet the challenges of this ungodly world. And I can't do that on my own. I need the direction and the help of God. And therefore, I open, and you and I can see that we can open the Word of God, and that we can look at that of its value, and therefore all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is profitable to us. We need the doctrine. We need to be reproved and say, this is wrong in your life. But we need to know how to correct it in our lives. And we need the instruction of righteousness and how to live it in our lives. Where is it found? It's found in God's open book that you and I have, that we have the inspired inspiration, inspired Word of the Creator of all the universe. We have it right here. Let me learn that. I have people occasionally that come to me and say, I'm just dragging in my faith. I'm fruitful and I just have a hard time just being alert at all in any kind of Bible study. And I'm just struggling with this, and I know I'm not where I need to be. And one of my first questions to them is, how much are you feeding on the message of God's Word in your private life? Are you opening the book? Are you listening? Are you dwelling on the message of the Word of God? How valuable it is. Ladies and gentlemen, whenever we open our Bibles and study, whenever we fail to do that, we lose the fuller and broader teachings of God. We are missing out on some things that God wants us to understand. In Ephesians chapter 3, and in verse 4, Paul said that what he had received by revelation, he was revealing unto them. And he says, by which when you read, notice this, look at this promise. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Have you ever wished, wow, I wish I knew what Paul knew. Wow, I wish I knew what John knew, what Peter knew. I wish I knew what the apostles knew. You can. The mystery of Christ. He said, Paul said, it was revealed to me, and I wrote it down, whereby when you read, you can understand the mystery of Christ. And that mystery wasn't something that was God never intended us for understand, but it's something that He intended us to understand in time. He says that the Gentiles, that verse 5, which in other ages were not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through God, of which Paul said, I became a minister. But now notice verse 8 of Ephesians 3. To me, who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship, the sharing of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. You know what we have? We have the manifold riches of the message of God. And He says, let me tell you something of what God did before the beginning of time. Wouldn't you like to know what God planned before the beginning of time, the mind of God? We can know. It's in your book. The marvelous things that He planned in the revelation of God's Word, and bringing about salvation for you and me. Oh, He did some really amazing things. Marvelous things. Through all of dealing with people. And still bringing salvation. And whenever we miss that kind of study and Bible study, we lose the desire of maturity that we can have in Christ. The blessing of maturity. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. You are still carnal. For where there is envy and strife and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? He says, you still haven't grown. But what did that value? He said, but, you know, we want to grow. All of our children, whenever they're little, we just can't wait. And they're babies, but we can't. I remember things. And Sam, you got a new baby. And it's just a joyful time. Oh, I remember the first child that was born to Jane and I. What a blessing. And the second and the third. And we wanted all of them to grow. I remember the day. I remember that, wow, I just can't wait until Jimmy, now Jim, Jimmy can talk to me and tell me what he really thinks. Now, I don't understand what word they said, but I just can't wait until I can have a conversation with my son. I just can't wait until I can have a conversation with my daughters and they can tell me what they're really thinking. Oh, that's what they're really thinking? Oh, it's sometimes it was rather shocking. And I had a lot to learn. But I wanted them to grow. God wants you to grow in maturity. He wants you not to stay a baby spiritually, because there's so many rich things and wonders and magnificent things He wants you to understand.
about what He's done for you in bringing about your salvation, bringing about your relationship and your walk with Him. He wants you to be able to understand that He's given you that message that will protect you. In Galatians chapter 5, He says in verse 16, He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh are against the Spirit against the flesh. And then it describes those in verse 19 and verse 20. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, and that list continues. But then in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. There's the message, ladies and gentlemen, that when we walk by the Spirit, that means we're walking by that which the Spirit has revealed unto us. Paul says in the parallel account, he says, to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. But what benefit? It will help you fight the works of the flesh and the battle that's there. But it will also give you love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and God and goodness and faithfulness, because it is meant to grow. And then thirdly, whenever we lose our appetite in our service unto God, we lose our independence. I'm not talking about independence from God. We need continual dependence upon God. But whenever we grow in our knowledge of God's Word, we're not dependent on somebody else to tell us what God's Word says. More and more, we can learn those things and those messages on our own, that we're no longer dull of hearing, but we're feeding upon the message of God and what He says. And we rightly divide the Word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And we're not too tossed, Ephesians 4, we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, sometimes our lives spiritually can be like the old ping ball machines. You know, the younger generation, you know what a ping ball machine is. It's a box that has these metal balls. You can do electronically now, but it's nothing like the real thing. The metal balls, and you pull the lever back, and it has all these stops inside of it, and bing, bang, bong, pong, and all these lights go up, and it's a great old fun time. But sometimes that's how we live. Whenever we haven't been studying God's Word, we go bing over here, and we're over here, and pong, we're over here, and bong, and we're over here, and dong, and we're just everywhere in life. And there's no stability. And there's no confidence that I'm doing what God says to do. If I do what they did, I'll become what they were, and I'll have the hope that they had. And that only comes by a study and a willingness to study God's Word. Number two, when prayer is rare. When prayer is rare. Have you prayed this morning besides our assembly? We've prayed and some been led in some thoughtful prayers in our prayer assembly. But did you pray before you came? Is prayer a part of your life? A lot of times whenever a red flag is, ask yourself, how much do I pray? The invitation of Scripture is found over and over. And then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The praying will help you not lose heart. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? How many times have we read these passages that the prayer of a righteous man, the fervent righteous prayer the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? That God hears your prayer. The psalmist said, oh, you who hear prayer. Peter says, the eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous.
And Timothy says, in making supplication and prayers and intercessions for those who are kings, for those who are in authority, and giving thanks. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, with thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Whenever his disciples were asleep, and whenever Jesus had gone into Gethsemane, and he comes up and he says, rise and pray. And let enter not into temptation. And when Simon the sorcerer was convicted by Peter to say, you are in the gall of bitterness and the bondage of iniquity, and he said, then therefore you need to repent therefore of this wickedness and pray if God perhaps will forgive the thoughts of your heart and you'll be forgiven. And he said, Peter, pray for me. Prayer was valuable and important in the lives of New Testament Christians. No Christian can successfully fight and win the battle against the temptations of the world and the weaknesses of the flesh without the avenue that God has given, and that is the avenue that God has given to pray. I tell new Christians, and it applies to each of us every day, new or old, do three things at least every day. Listen to God every day. Through a study of your word. Talk to God every day through prayer. And therefore, do something because you belong to God every day. And study God's word and then pray about what you just studied about. Well, I don't know what the words to say. Well, I don't know if I'm saying the words in the right way. I don't know if I'm saying, if I'm saying exactly what it means. God sees, God hears, God. Study your God, study the Word of God, and then pray about what you just studied. Help me have that kind of faith. Help me have that kind of courage. Help me learn the importance of that which I've just studied. And it will increase your prayers. And the time that you spend that is there. We say, well, how you doing, buddy? Well, I'm doing pretty good. Maybe we ought to ask, how are you doing spiritually? How is your prayer life? And then number three. Whenever we stop studying and prayer is rare, the next step is also we want to no longer be with God's people around those who are seeking to serve the Lord. And therefore, the Lord has given us these pronouns that are not singular, but whatever that other word is in English. Pronouns that are church, that mean a group. Mean more. You're not a church. We're a church. Collective. There it is. Collective nouns. And the household and the temple and the body are all collective nouns that describe what we do together. And that's so valuable in our service unto God. Acts 2 and verse 42, now all who believe were together. Acts 2 and verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Acts 14 and verse 27, the church gathered the church together. In Acts 20 and verse 7, with the disciples came together. And then look at all those scriptures. We're not going, I see the time. We're not going through all of those. But those are lessons that in and of themselves of one another passages. That we can have the same mind for one another. We can be mindful of one another. We receive one another. We admonish one another. We greet one another. We love to serve one another. We seek to be kind to one another. And we submit to one another. We don't lie to each other. We bear one another's burdens. We don't speak evil of one another. We exhort one another. We consider one another. We stir one another up. And all of those things we miss in our spiritual life. We are removing all of those things, all of those benefits in our relationship unto God. And we talked about this the other night. Whenever Thomas was not with the other apostles when Jesus first appeared, and I have that lesson, I'm not going to preach it all here, of what Thomas missed by missing.
And God had, and Jesus gave a lot of promises there and a lot of things that He said that would have been a marvelous encouragement. And Thomas was not there, and they told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas said, "Well, I'm not going to believe it until I touch His hands. I'm not going to believe that." But you know where Thomas was 8 days later? He wasn't now. He was an unbeliever. He did not believe the things that happened, that Jesus was really resurrected from the dead. You know where he was 8 days later? He was with the disciples. And the Lord appeared again and said, "Come here, Thomas. Touch my hand." But suppose he was so discouraged because he was now didn't have the faith that those other people had. "I'm not going to be around them. They have all faith. They believe they've seen the resurrected Lord. I didn't see it. I'm not believing that." Suppose he had said, "Therefore, I'm not going to be around them anymore." He didn't. "I'm going to be around them." And it gave him the faith that he needed. I don't know how many times, brethren, I have preached sermons. And I stopped doing this when I used to do this as an early preacher. "Oh, I'm going to preach this sermon because I know this person's going to be there and they need to hear it." Oh, I made some fumbles. You know what always happened, don't you? They're never there. But I know of a number of occasions where brethren have come and said, "You know what? I would really like to hear a lesson on this. Or, I really need this in my life. And I really think that helped my faith." And I think, "I just talked about that last week." We just had a lesson on that. I just talked about it. And you missed it. I'll be glad to talk about it again. I'll be glad to say it again and do that. But my point is, oftentimes, that's the way the devil works. He takes the seed away and out of the heart of the very thing you need to hear. But I was tired. I didn't feel as good as I did yesterday. I went shopped all day yesterday in the mall. But I'm too tired today. Everything's not just right. Everything's just not perfect. I don't think I can go. But the very thing, and what we do here, and we sing like we've sang, magnify God. How can you not be lifted from that? How can you not hear the message about being worthy that Frank said today? Wow, marvelous. I'm going to use that, Frank. That is a marvelous lesson. How can you not be lifted? You know, what we need. We need each other. We need to assemble together. We need the time together. Here's the danger. When those things are happening, and this list of red flags, and we ignore them, the danger is we're going back to the world. That's the danger. We're losing our faith. Our conviction, and I see it. So sad. Because you know what happened? Unrighteous living will suppress the truth. Living outside of God will suppress me wanting to hear the truth. Unrighteous living, because I don't love the truth anymore the way I should, will bring unbelief. I don't know how many people, the Christians that have been faithful, and now they've deserted their faith, and it started with ignoring the flags one step at a time, further and further away, and then they come up and say, "Well, you know what? I really don't even know if I even believe in God." Ever heard people say that? That were Christians? "I don't know if I really believe the Bible." I'm not surprised. I'm sad, but I'm not surprised. Why? Because that's the direction that they're going in. That's the consequences of living. We even question those things that we knew so well. No one can serve two masters. Talking about riches, you'll hate the one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the same thing is true about anything else in our life. Our love of the world will cause us to hate God. Our lack of commitment to spiritual things will cause spiritual things to become dull and uninteresting. because they were in the battle of who's master in our lives. And therefore, it will cause my love to grow cool and grow cold. And the pleasures and cares of this world can take me again. And once I have escaped the pollutions of the world by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and I am entangled again, is a worse state than at the beginning. And I think that simply means one application is that once I've tasted the blessings in Christ and the blood of Christ and tasted the blessings, and then because of my neglect of not growing as I should and not praying as I needed to and not seeking the taking care of those red flags, and I go back to that sinful world, I don't believe you go back to zero. I believe you go back to negative. To a deeper hole. To a deeper challenge. That doesn't mean you can't come back out. That you can't do it again, but it is going to be even a more struggle battle maybe than initially that you had to fight. Because you went back. And Satan and sin grabbed you harder. Because they missed you the first time. Or they got you to go the first time. But now, I've got you. One more chain around. And you don't have to fight that battle if you'll add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. If those are yours and abound, they will neither make you barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you can make your calling sure, that he who practices these things, Peter said, will never stumble. What a marvelous promise of Scripture in our service unto God. And therefore, red flag, stop seeking to learn. Prayer is rare. Removing ourselves from God's people, back to the world is near. Don't think it's not. What do? Repent. Repent. All the flags that we've talked about. Don't just, that was an interesting series. If you see the red flags, say, I need to do something about that. There isn't a single one that isn't what you could pull down and say, that's not going to get me. I'm going to work on that. You're right, I feel that way. I'm taking care of that. I'm going to do what I can. That's why the lessons. The lessons aren't to say, I got you, I got you, I got you. The lessons are saying, if you need to be gotten, there's a solution. Wake up! Make your faith what it needs to be. What it can be. And the most important thing, with the help of the Lord. He'll help you every step of the way. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need the blood of Christ as much as we ever did, even in our walking and our service unto God and then initially coming to Him. And if you're not with the Lord, and if you're not on His side, if you're not His people, and you're with the devil, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. But if you're willing, and if you're not willing to confess me, I won't confess you that I know you. But He said, if you will confess me, I'll confess that I know you. And He said, repent. And unless you likewise repent, you will also perish. And He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He wants your salvation. Because He wants your heaven with Him. He wants you to have hope. Don't you want to walk through life that way? I did. I do. And that's why I'm His. And that's why I need you. And that's why I need the study of His Word. And that's why we need one another. because the abundant, the entrance into the kingdom of heaven is abundant to those who are faithful to Him. Let's be faithful. If we're not, let's correct it. If we're not His, that can all change today. You can go home, a child of God, forgiven of your sins, with the hope of heaven, this very day. Won't you come? Here's a go with Dan Sullivan.